The readings today speak of great thirst and great trust. Or rather, great thirst and then a lack of trust. And how fitting it is for this time period. We're scared, we're sad, we're angry, and yet our Lord understands it all. And he says, I know that you thirst for me. And I want you to really lean into that thirst. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock? So we see that this week, we continue through this journey of salvation history. We began with Adam and Eve, creation and then fall, but immediately God responded to that lie of the devil with a promise of a Savior, right? I'm just recapping. Then we moved from there to Noah, to Abraham. And then you had Abraham's sons. And then the next generation. Eventually, we end up in Egypt. God worked powerfully. But it seems like all throughout the Old Testament, every other generation messes up. You've got a generation that's just super faithful to the Lord, and then the very next generation seems to turn their back on him. And isn't that the story of every one of our lives? Every one of our beating hearts tells the story of saying, I'm all in, God. I trust you. And then somehow that trust disappearing just that next day. And so we continue to follow the people of Israel. God has continued making covenants with them. And then we get to Moses. Right? The people have been in Egypt long enough for what? For there to be a new Pharaoh who knew not of Joseph. And then the people were enslaved. And Moses comes as the Lord's mouthpiece to free the people. And they have freedom. Freedom from slavery. But they go into a difficult time. A desert. And there they would willingly sacrifice their freedom for their comfort. And that is the question that Jesus poses to all of us in our lives every Lent. Do you want to be striving just after comfort? Or do you want the freedom of the sons and daughters of God? Do you want that kind of freedom to where you're not a slave to your passions, to your stuff, to your will, but that in any and every circumstance, you can be free? Knowing that you have the most precious thing in the world, which is a relationship with the Lord. Right now, that's being tested more than ever before, I think, for a lot of us. Because even the most expressive way that we show that relationship with the Lord and grow in it through Holy Mass, even that we can't participate in the same way that we normally do. And so we have this incredible thirst and this yearning. And we say, God, That most precious thing that I would sacrifice everything else for, I can't experience it the way that I normally do. So what do I do? We thirst, but we come to the Lord with that thirst. We have the option to go like the people in the desert. The people of Israel in the desert just grumbling, just saying, I'm willing to forfeit my freedom. I'm thirsty right now, and I'm mad, and I want this to end. Or we can go visit Jesus at the well. We can go to visit him there and say, Lord, I need this living water, and I can't get it the normal way that I usually do, so I need you to give it to me in my personal prayer life, in my life of faith with my family. Right? So many of you, I pray right now, are gathered with your families in the domestic church, and what a beautiful expression of our faith that is. This period is kind of a gut check for a lot of us. How passive am I in my faith? Or how active am I? Is it something that my whole Sabbath boils down to just 1 hour where I go to church? Because obviously that's the peak. The Mass is the greatest thing that exists in the universe because it's actually bigger than the universe, right? God himself, the creator of the universe, comes down to be with us. But that same God we're supposed to be connected with every other hour of the week. Are we? See, this is our period to grow in the active component of our faith. To say it's not just about, can I be in the physical space of the church? My knowledge of Scripture should not hinge on what the guy with the microphone says. This is our time to reevaluate. Is the Sabbath a full day for me, or just an hour? Because we're in the middle of the Sabbath right now. It's so easy to just say, no, it's just I keep holy the Sabbath day. I go to Mass. That's great. That's the most important thing of the Sabbath. But now that that's been taken away from us for a little time, we might be left with a void and think, oh no, how can I be Catholic without being able to go to Mass? And so I pray that we take advantage of this, not with despair, not with grumbling, but with excitement at the opportunity to grow in our faith. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to be neglectful or indifferent at all to how much this hurts, okay? Because, I mean, I was at the point of tears at the beginning of this Mass to not see you all here. But we trust in the Lord. We give Him our thirst. And we trust that He can give us that same experience that the Samaritan woman had. Oh, it's one of the most beautiful scenes in all of Scripture. That she goes there and Jesus asks something of her. He says, hey, will you comfort me with this small favor? Give me a drink. He asked that same thing of us. But what are the ways that we can comfort the Lord? Well, one of the most beautiful ways is by being present to Him in prayer. To think that we can actually delight the Lord with something as small as that is just checking in and saying, God, here I am. This is what my heart looks like right now. I really want you right now. I'm really thirsting for you. That one simple prayer, that little conversation with the Lord can delight God Almighty. How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Her response is our response. Very often that's the exact thing that we say. It's like, whoa, why would you want something to do with me, God? Don't you know what I've done? Don't you know who I am? Shouldn't you be keeping a distance from me? Me, I who have contracted that great virus of sin? How can you possibly want something to do with me? And yet he presses on. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. See, he delights in us praying to him, giving him that gift of ourselves and our time. But because he knows that he is never outdone in generosity, he's the one who then gives himself to us. He gives us living water, that which we're thirsting for with the very depths of our being. He gives us that meaning in life. He gives us that unconditional love. He gives us that security of knowing that with him it's going to be all right. Right? What did St. Paul remind us of? We boast in hope of the glory of God, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That is the gift of God that Jesus Christ was talking about. That he wants to give to the Samaritan woman, that he wants to give to us. And the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is he's with you right now. In your home, God is truly present. This living water, this gift of God, he's there. Wherever you're watching this, he's there. We weep because we're not able to be in Christ's Eucharistic presence, but at the same time, he is proclaiming to us boldly from the tabernacle, though I'm here in a special way, this is not the only place where I am. So I pray that today, we can receive that living water of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That we can know that he's always with us. But what was it that Jesus continued to say to the Samaritan woman? Right? He speaks to her of living water and she's a little skeptical at first. She says, well, what do you mean this water? I mean, you clearly have nothing to get it with. You don't even have a bucket. The cistern is deep. How are you going to give me this little living water? And so he says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst, and the water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. She's still thinking in terms of physical thirst. Well, fine, if you got some special water, give it to me. Because I don't want to have to work for water. And that's how it is with us so often too in our prayer. God's trying to lift us as high as possible to a relationship with him, where we rejoice in that above everything else. And we still just think about our day-to-day necessities. Lord, grant me this little thing that I want. This comfort. This piece of human security. He wants more for us. All of that, yes, but so much more. He doesn't just want to quench our physical thirst. He doesn't want to just meet our day-to-day practical needs. He wants to give us living water. Something that even if the whole world turns to chaos, even if we're cut off from everything that we've known and loved, we still have the one most precious thing. We know that God Almighty is there with us and that we can trust in him. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back. The woman answered and said to him, I do not have a husband. Jesus answered her, you are right in saying I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. That's one of the most incredible points of this whole passage, is that God calls her out. And that is what opens her heart to him. It's not by him saying, oh yeah, you're perfect just the way you are. It's him saying, you need this living water. You have all sorts of things that are stored in their heart that are burdening you down. You have all of these sins and regrets, and you might run the risk of never being truly known. Exactly as you are, and loved. That's the fear, is that we put on so many different masks that we don't think anybody actually knows the true us, the true me beneath all the masks. And that's what God says. He says, I know that person. I know that person beneath all that masks. I know your history. I've got all the dirt on you. And guess what? I still love you. In fact, I love you more. I love you with the love of pity for how much you're hurting right now, even for the self-inflicted wounds. That's a big part of our work this Lent, is to let God know us, to let him call us out, but then also call us out on what we're letting be in the way of our relationship with him. Come and see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? It's incredible the freedom that we receive when we let God into the deepest, darkest secrets, to the worst regrets, to the most shameful episodes. When we bring that to the light of the confessional, we're made truly free. We're made more free even than the Israelites wandering through the desert. Because not only are we freed from the sin that enslaved us, then we also get to enjoy the constant companionship of that living water that is the Holy Spirit. That's the freedom that I pray we can all experience during these days. The freedom of knowing that God knows us through and through, and loves us and wants to be with us at every single moment of our lives, whether we're in home, whether we're in church, whether we're anywhere in between. He is with us. He knows our thirst, and he calls for our trust.